I want to invite all of you right now to think of an interaction you had with someone this week, and maybe especially an interaction that might have been a little frustrating or confusing, where you walked away and weren't necessarily at peace with that interaction. And I want you to have that in mind while I make this statement. And how we experience other people tends to reflect our relationship with God more than it reflects the nature of those other people. So how you feel about someone and how you interact with them is more about your relationship with God than it tells you more about your relationship with God than it necessarily does about them. All right? It's almost like looking into a mirror sometimes. Other people are like holding up a mirror to us, and we get to see ourselves and how we interact with them and how we feel about them through those relationships. This is one of the great, where the power is in the command to take rest and Sabbath. It's a time to in some ways step back from those interactions that we have with other people and say, who is God? Where is God in all this? And who am I really deep down? We talked last week about how Sabbath, the command to take a Sabbath rest, is central, both in number and in theory, to the Ten Commandments. We talked about last week how rest is a gift from God and that it shapes all of our relationships. It reconnects us with the source of our life in God. So it shapes our relationship with God, and rest reframes our relationships with other people. And as such, it is a gift. It's not just a hoop that God wants us to jump through. It's not just a rule that God wants us to follow. It's a gift that God has given us for the sake of both our souls and our relationship with Him and our communities, our relationships with one another. And so I want to look at both sides, if you will, of those relationships and of the Ten Commandments this morning. And we did look a little bit last week about Sabbath and our relationship with God, but I want to review a little bit before we get into our relationship with others. So the Sabbath and our relationship with God. As I said last week, it's the Sabbath commandment, number 4, that helps us to tap into the power of the first 3 commands. And again, that is what the commands are. I can't reemphasize this enough, because so many of us have grown up thinking that Christianity is mostly a list of rules that we just have to follow. The instruction of the Ten Commandments and of the Torah and of the Scriptures in general is about leading us into the heart of God. It's about giving us and helping us to live the life that God created us to live. So the Sabbath commandment helps us to get into the heart of God that we find in the first 3 commandments. And so when we take time to rest and reflect on God, we have an opportunity to remember, as God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and you shall have no other gods before me. We're called to remember that God is not like Pharaoh, that God is not a taskmaster. God is a God who liberates. God is a God of grace. And rest helps us to remember that. It also helps us to remember that the God that we worship is not our slave, is not a God that can be manipulated for our own purposes. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. So God isn't there, and we have to remember this, God isn't there to serve our economic or our social or our tribal or our national interests. God is free. God is sovereign. And we can't turn him into something that we can control and manage and use. That's the second commandment. And then the third commandment, then, that we have a God that we worship and revere, and that worship and reverence must never shrink smaller than our own endeavors. And as I said last week, that is what using the Lord's name in vain is about. Okay? It's not just about our words. It's about how we relate to God and where God fits in our priorities, in our values, in worth to us. Worship is about the worth that we place on God. So God is holy and God is primary and first in our lives. And it's Sabbath that tells us to step back from all the other things in our lives that tell us they should be first. Our job, our soccer team, whatever else it is in our lives that's saying, pay attention to me. This is urgent. This is important. Sabbath says, whoa, stop. What is really important? Who is really first and foremost? The Lord our God. And so, throughout the scripture, throughout the Old Testament, Sabbath, the Sabbath command transcends just one day a week. Because we have various needs that we face in our lives where we get off course in all of this. Our relationship with God needs various levels of maintenance. So there's not just a Sabbath day. Throughout the year, there's Sabbath festivals for Israel. And then we've talked about before how the seventh year was a Sabbath year where crops were not planted or harvested. And then we talked last year about how the Jubilee year, which is the 50th year, is a special Sabbath year in addition to the other Sabbath years. So there's all these different levels of Sabbath. We are kind of like our cars, right? So you'll take your car in, or you'll do it yourself, 15 minutes a month or every few months to change your oil, right? And that's just a quick little tune-up. That's kind of like the Sabbath day, or maybe even like your daily time with God, where you take a moment and rest in God's presence. But then you also might take your car in for an annual tune-up, and that's going to take a little bit longer, but it's trying to make sure your car is healthy and able to do what you need it to do. And then there might be times where something happens and you need to take your car into the shop for a week because something really has been damaged and needs to be repaired. And so it is with us and our hearts. The lies that we believe in this world, the sin patterns that we get involved in and get stuck in need various degrees of reminders and redemptions and repairs. And so Sabbath, whether it's a few moments in a day, or whether it's a day in a week, or whether it's a sabbatical, or whether it's a whole Sabbath year, are meant to recall for us and reconnect to the source of our life. It's for our body and our minds and also our souls. And from that, then, the Ten Commandments, through the Sabbath command, moves us from our relationship with God into our relationship with others. And I don't want to separate these things so much, but it makes it easier to think about the Ten Commandments in this way. So the Sabbath then also impacts our relationship with others. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, kind of gets to the fact that our these commandments that we see in Exodus are not just about a bunch of behaviors that we each individually have to obey. The first and foremost, these commands are a framework for the community. You know, these are the basic things you kind of need to do if you're going to be the people of God together. But they also lead us into the heart of God, and they're meant to get not just to our outward actions, but into the heart from which our actions and our words and our ways of living come. And so if we are not practicing Sabbath, if we're not connecting to the source of our life, if we're not allowing God to fill us, if we're not connecting to the God who accepts us by grace into his family, who makes us holy and righteous, if we're not connecting with the God in whom we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, as Paul writes, or who gives us value and purpose and forgiveness and hope, who gives us assurance of the ultimate victory through the resurrection of Jesus, not through the vanquishing of other people or competition with others, but through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. If we're not connecting with those gods, with that God, and receiving those gifts, we are going to put those needs of ours onto other people. If we're not getting what we need from God and what God alone can give, we will demand that we get those things from other people. And that is a load that other people cannot bear. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian and resistor to the Nazi movement, wrote, "Christians no longer live by their own resources. They live entirely by God's word pronounced to them. If they are asked, if a Christian is asked, where is your salvation, your blessedness, your righteousness, they can never point to themselves. Instead, they point to the word of God in Jesus Christ that grants them salvation, and blessedness, and righteousness." So as Christians, we should know and we need to practice where our ultimate needs come from. Because if we're looking to others for acceptance, if we're looking to others to be in tune with our every need physically and spiritually and emotionally, if we're looking for others to affirm our goodness, if we're looking to others for our primary source of forgiveness, if we're looking to others to provide for us and move us into prosperity, we're going to be disappointed. Because that's not why other people are here. To give you everything you need. If we're not receiving the gift of life and grace from the infinite storehouses of God, we will take and extort and defend what we need from the finite storehouses of other people. And that's what Commandments 5 through 10 are about. When we become taskmasters like Pharaoh rather than liberators like God, when we try to make people in our own image and to fit our own desires rather than respect them as co-images, image bearers of God, when we take others in vain and minimize them to fit our vanities and needs and wants, and we don't get it, and they don't do that, that's when we begin to diminish those who gave us life and are called to care for us. Honor your father and mother. That's when we think other people are disposable and that we are justified in getting other people out of our way. Thou shalt not murder. That is when we forget our covenants with one another and say, I'm going to pursue my desires somewhere else because I'm not getting my needs met from you. Shall not commit adultery. That's when we begin to take from others, either by cunning or force, shall not steal. That is when we feel free to manipulate the truth to meet our own ends and to justify ourselves. Thou shalt not lie. Because we are coveting from others things that will fill the void that only God can fill. And so as we practice Sabbath, as we rest, as we take a step back from everything else, we remember that it is God who created us and a God who still desires to be involved in our lives, to meet our needs, to bring us fulfillment and forgiveness and hope. We reconnect to the source of our lives and the source of our salvation. And as we practice Sabbath, our relationships with others, the way we see other people is reframed. We see that we are called to relationships of mutuality, not where I'm just looking to have my desires met through you. relationships of collaboration to make this world a better place rather than competition to see who can take our part of the world for ourselves. Relationships that are built on grace rather than demand and judgment. And so Sabbath, the Sabbath day, is special and it's distinct. It's holy. It's meant to be different from all of the other days of the week. But at the same time, it is not separate or distant from the rest of our lives. Our times, in your time of Sabbath this week, and the next week, and the next week maybe, but let's just practice it this week. I want you to take time when you are resting in the presence of God. Well, maybe first to just do that. First, take time to rest in the presence of God, whether that's 15 minutes in the morning, each day, a full day, maybe next week. Maybe you got to plan it out. And you do have to plan Sabbath out. It doesn't just happen. Other things will flow into your life. But when you do that, when you take that time to rest in God, I want to encourage you to invite other people into your relationship with God. And that doesn't necessarily mean, I'm not talking about physically, but I'm talking about when you spend time with God, when you're praying, in your spirit, bring someone else in. I think we might pray for people we love, loved ones, but especially bring into that time the people that you really have a hard time with, the people that might be frustrating you, the people that might be really just getting under your skin, or your flat-out enemies, the people in this world that you think the world would be better off without them. Invite them in spirit into your time with God. And as you receive those gifts of forgiveness and mercy and compassion from God, when you receive the call, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." What would it look like for you to see that other person as someone whom God desires the same things for? Someone God desires to lavish grace upon. Someone God invites to come to Him and find rest for their souls. Invite that other person into your practice of Sabbath, so that God can reframe that relationship with a fellow son or daughter of God, a fellow neighbor, a fellow individual who owes everything to the gift-giving and gracious God of this universe. Let God's commandment do what it was always meant to do: draw you more deeply into the heart of your Creator. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word, for the gift of your wisdom, for the gift of rest and Sabbath. And God, we pray that you would help us to follow that command in a way that allows us to experience you in your fullness, to know you for who you truly are, and also in a way that changes how we relate to other people, how we relate to this world that we live in. That we might be people, when we are burdened and tired and frustrated with this world and with life itself, that we would come to you and that we would be able to rest and delight in your presence, that we might re-enter the world with faith and hope and love. We ask this all in the name of the one who is our rest, and in whose life and death and resurrection we find everything we need, Jesus, our Lord, the Christ. Amen.